Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Glenn, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, in the time we were off, I was contacted and told that the old MTW depot in the Pine, St. Michael, was where, as part of the original plan, that was where the fire service was intended to go. But as I said, this is a decision that was made prior to the change of government.
Yeah,
this is something that I know I would have heard of.
Yeah, I've heard about that too. Right. Near the Iron Hill School, right. Or obviously Iron Hill School or something like that. Right. My strategy, I think, is for fire service vehicles have to try to get into Bridgetown. Through Kalamarock or the Pine Road. Do you know how difficult it is? And there's no reason why, there's no action at the fire service building is where it was. First of all, I remember as a boy saying, you would not know this, Anker, the fire service that I knew of
was so opposite.
Central police
station.
Right?
I remember seeing
there were almost a shed like. It then be after the fire service left, it became the weights and measures division. Right? But I remember passing a truck rolling over there and a man on the back ringing a bell. There was even no siren then. And then that was before the Bourbon Street building came. The Bourbon Street building, along with government headquarters, a part of the legacy of Grant Yellen, that was the real modern structural building started to come about. Government headquarters and the NS and the police service, police and fire station building and whatnot. And if you know why, like, they reflect a Barbadian vernacular agriculture that are focused on functionality and purpose rather than being ornamental and grand and spectacular, to be looked at, right, to be lived in and worked on. And therefore, I saw them come out of the ground going to Common Mary Lane. Right? And I've always been very fond of them, because to me, they represent the first buildings that came out of the bosom of an enfranchised Barbadian government out of the 1951 universal adult suffrage. Prior to that, the buildings that were built would have been built under the colonial system, like on the colonial era, public buildings. They are all colonial era buildings. The police service, the fire service building, and the government headquarters, to me, from where, unless I'm wrong, maybe people like Sir Henry Fraser can write about it or tell us about it, represent a different era, a different style, a different purpose, represent different political and social and economic factors that led to that. So therefore,
Glenn, I appreciate your nostalgia and I understand it
because
let me make my point. Let me go back here now to what is. What is that we know that what is happening. What I think we both agree on is that there should be at least one unit in Bridgetown. And the thing about it is that the whole idea of the port development, there's room down there, certainly where you can house one or even two units down there as a possibility that they can look at. And they, of course, could convert where they are right now, possibly, to have at least one unit there. But I would think that the point that you made about
accessibility and speed,
that one unit would make much of a difference. But Glenn, just let's move off very quickly, because I had you on for a long time.
Before
you go off, this is something that I know is dear to your heart, and I want to talk about it for at least 2 minutes.
No problem.
Aesthetic development of Bridgetown.
Because,
you know, and Queen's Park, Independence Square. Then
right.
We have Dunwich Cheapside. Then we have right there, right opposite the Treasury Building, on the wharf side. Because remember years ago, the elite buses used to pass there, and we used to board right there as children trying to get to Bush Hall and those areas. That whole redevelopment, that has made Barbados more beautiful. The boardwalk.
I'm glad you mentioned that. First of all, Queen's Park, I think a major attention needs to be paid to Queen's Park now, because it's a shadow of what it used to be. The fountains that started off still don't work. They're not any animals. They're no more to do like nothing at all. It just has some ground, but I think the overall infrastructure of Queen's Park has to be looked at to make it a pleasing. The major part in the city should also do well. But I also had played a part in the enhancement of Bridgetown. You see the Fountain Gardens? As part, when I was in charge of the public service, I had but also responsible community independence celebrations, the staff of the Inland Revenue Department volunteered out of their resources and what to enhance that function. Yeah, remember the white picket fences?
Yeah, yeah.
They worked with me and getting, they did that out of their own resources, their own money. They've got the material, they got paid for the work, they painted it, etc. And that enhanced our whole area. And I would pass there. Whenever I notice that, for example, the function is not working, people don't fully appreciate the therapeutic value of water.
Mm-hmm.
The function in the day that the, if it was a prolonged period of time where the function Hero Square was not working, function gathering was not working, people would put garbage and bottles of water in the function structure. Mm-hmm. Once the function was working, I would see Barbadians sit on these benches, have their lunches, chat, tour, score, the tape, pictures, and recreate themselves very. But once the function not where it became a dumping ground, especially if these receptacles were filled or were not cleared, people just drop stuff where they are. I say that because I used to spend a lot of time communicating and speaking to Mr. Neblick at NCC to get staff to come down, to clean, to sweep, to cut grass, to maintain the function, because the difference that its functionality made to the aesthetics of Bridgetown made a substantial difference. So I'm very much with you on that. And in addition, I'd like to know, that it is not for any. I have had a long association with this building. When I was editor of the New Beijing Magazine, when it was a nation thing, Professor Fraser and I collaborated on producing a book called, I edited the book, he did the writing, called Houses of Barbadian Leaders,
mm-hmm.
in which we highlighted the houses of Granny Adams, Al Barrow, and et cetera, Conrad Reese. A lot of people welcome it. So therefore, I've had this long attachment to these buildings, mm-hmm. and therefore, what happens to them?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you talk about North Chad, but I'm the only one know that
I'm aware, Glenn. That's why I raised the whole issue.
not that they shouldn't uh-huh. ever go or be touched or whatever, yeah. but that they represented yeah. a certain era and orientation.
Fair enough.
I think that made the difference to Barbados.
Yeah. Anyhow, Glenn, we gotta go.
Thank you,
man. Have a great day. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. I'm calling Mr. Price because I am very sentimental about this area there in Provin Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. Let's
Why are you sentimental about it?
As a Barbadian, I came up in this country. I was brought up in this country, and the area there of the fire service. Now, let us say, put aside the National Insurance Building and put aside the market. All right? Yes, I would say that the building shouldn't go to the National Insurance Building, but okay, let's say we get rid of that and we get rid of the market. But the sentimental value of the fire service, which was and is the first fire station to be built in Barbados, after what Glenn Murray said, which I told David Ellis yesterday on the radio, that the fire station was right there opposite the police station in Central,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they built the fire station there on Province Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm wondering, Mr. Price, why can't they knock down the old Empire Building and put the park across there? What is the significance of the Empire Building to the fire service? Can you tell me?
Well, sir, first of all, the Empire Building is private property, and it is already under rehabilitation. It's being rejuvenated.
I understand that Empire Building is now in the hands of the government. Why are we going to keep the Empire Building, which have no real significance to the Barbadian public by as just a cinema, to destroy the fire station, which have more significance to Barbados than the Empire Cinema?
If I were you, I wouldn't take a vote on that. Because I can tell you, a lot of people tell you about their days growing up, going to the Empire.
Well, I used to go to the Empire.
And the only connection to the fire service building is just passing it and seeing it. In fact, some people don't even know it there.
Well, those are persons who don't really have, right, the Barbadian culture and the historic culture of the
They both have some sort of sentimental value. I am not trying to dismiss what you're saying, so don't think that. They both have sentimental value. Now, when I look at the project, and that's why I really wanted to see the whole schematics of the project, to see every aspect of it so that we can really look and talk about it. I read that extract from July 2018, to show you that this is nothing new. It was said back then. I made the point earlier that I know that the building, the fire service was going to be demolished, and this was even before this government came into power. It was part of that whole Hyatt development for the area. So I think the thing that's really lacking here is getting this overall perspective, maybe from the Barbados BTII, because they're responsible for the whole thing. So they can give us some idea of the rationale behind everything. Because the fire service was going to be demolished as part of the Hyatt plan, and this was prior to this present government coming in. The fact that in 2018, within 2 months of this government coming in, two or three months of this government coming in, the Prime Minister is saying, well, we're going to get rid of that and we're going to have this park. That means that the discussion has been ongoing. So why can't we present to the public right now, this is what we are thinking about. This is and laid out. And this is why, and this, just let me finish. And this is why I am certain that what happened with the vendors, where the transport board did what they did, that was the spoke in the wheel. Because I suspected they planned to roll out the whole thing. And you know,
and they let the cat out the bag.
And somebody at the transport, let the cat out the bag, but they did it in such a way that what you have basically done is that you've really caused a problem.
But what I'm saying, Mr. Price, is that I want to know if this project, right? But then the project, then they had the town hall meetings on it, which I think the Barbadian public should be part of the decision making, right? And not just somebody can make a decision and throw it on the Barbadian people.
But really, you can't have a town hall meeting for everything. But that is why you elect a government, because they take certain decisions. Okay,
yes,
you remember when this? Okay, hold on. You remember when this Hyatt project first came up? You remember that? And I'm dealing specifically with the Hyatt project. You remember that?
Yeah.
And the misgivings, and we were talking, we were talking in the media, here on this program and other places. All of us were saying, but given the, you're talking about 15 stories high. And I'm saying, but look, why are you not having an environmental impact study? And we were asking all those questions first day. We don't need all that. We don't need town hall meeting for that.
But
we have made a decision. The government decided that they're going to have desalination plants. Nobody ain't asked for a town hall meeting for that. There are implications for that, you know, in terms of cost. But we never had a discussion for that. Sir, all I'm saying, to you is that you don't need a town hall meeting for everything.
But for a
what we need is for the government to come and give us a rationale for what they've done.
I can't agree with you. We're going to disagree on this one. Because with such a project like that, the desalination plant is just a building down the road.
No,
right.
Sir.
No.
Let me tell you something. A desalination plant, okay, is millions of dollars. Because don't forget, you are actually converting seawater, not just groundwater.
Okay.
Seawater or groundwater. You're using energy. Okay. It is expensive. All right. And it has implications. Right through ecology, everything. It is a serious step.
Water essential? Is a park essential?
But of course, a park is essential. You see, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is where I was really leading you to. Because you see, it is our perspective on the aesthetics of our country. Because we in this country, too many people of us in this country do not regard the value of parks. But you know what? We will go to Toronto and we will go to other places and we will see the beautiful parks and how people sit down and relax. And we say, oh, how beautiful it is and how clean it is and whatnot. And we do not appreciate what it does to us here in Barbados. We can have that too.
But those parks in those countries, Mr. Price, I travel the world too. I used to live in New York. I know those parks in those countries were there for eons.
But it got to be established at some time, you know. Independence Square, when Independence Square was made into a park, just 20 years ago?
I wasn't in Barbados when that was done.
Therefore, you know what Independence Square used to look like then.
You know what the
old cheap side right in front of courts used to look like. Okay, you know.
But what I am saying,
compare it now for those people who just born.
Mr. Price, you can't take me off my track.
Are you trying to take you off your track?
No, but you see, I am saying right, and I will say all the time right. Mm-hmm. We need in this country, people in this country, if the Democratic Labour Party to do that there, Mr. Price, the same Prime Minister will be saying, let us rub shoulders, let us hold hands, let us object to it, they're wasting money. That is what the then Prime Minister will be doing. But because now, and I'm going to tell you the major person who is behind all of this and speaking out for this for many years, is the Ambassador for CARICOM, because he believes in that Golden Square, and I know he's smiling today, right? I have nothing.
So you are saying that there's no significance in Golden Square. There's no significance in the work done by His Excellency, Mr. Clement Payne. Are you saying there's no significance to our development as a people? Are you telling me that?
No. You don't have to have that size park to have the history of Clement Payne.
I realize that I would get lost here in this discussion because there's nothing that I could tell you that would make you understand that it is bigger than the man, it's bigger than what he would have stood for.
It is about us as a people. Listen to me, Mr. I told David Ellis yesterday that when you create that park there, right, look at the wider spectrum, you're going to create a haven for vagrants to go and lay down and sleep on the benches. That is what the park is going to be done, is going to happen after all. And another thing too, right?
But that statement alone demonstrates two things. You're talking, one, about the manner in which we manage our parks, our national spaces. And two, you're also talking about a situation where there is need for us to have some place where people who are homeless can go in the city, right?
Yes, okay. But what I am saying, and I will say it all the time, right? And I believe that the people of Barbados should come out and object to the demolition of the Barbados Fire Service. I know I ain't worried about the National Insurance Building and the market. The people of Barbados should come out and speak out against it. Come and hold a chain around the fire service and stop the demolition of the fire service. Protest it. We need a revolution in this country to make things in Barbados that are significant. It's a historic Bridgetown, and you're going to destroy a historic building? That means you have no respect for the history and the historic of the Bridgetown and the environment.
All right, sir. I take your point. We want to destroy historic buildings by destroying the fire service. So instead of destroying the historic fire service building, we should destroy the historic Empire Building, which is older and everything. Good argument. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this the most excellent Anthony Carter?
Yes, sir.
I picked up your voice immediately. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
I am fine. Can I get away with calling you Gabbert? Respect you, you know. I have to ask your permission.
I know.
But we're on radio, so most excellent.
All right, so greetings to you and Dennis and everyone else, David and the other. I didn't get no chance to see you all yet for the new year.
Well, thank you. Before you go on, I would like to, first of all, before you go on,
yes.
I would like to congratulate you on what I think is a most worthy, very worthy award. And you know how I feel about you.
Yes.
You know how I feel about you. I can't get all emotional here.
You were one of the first people to honor me in terms of crop over.
So, yes, man. So
naming a whole band on different sections, naming different sections after songs that I wrote. So
yes,
I want to probably thank you for that too. But on this matter here, the guy's making what seems to be a good point, but I would like to counter it, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Firstly, the Empire is an older building than the fire station. Secondly, it's not just a building. It's the only real theater we ever had in this country. So I don't know what are the plans, really. I think Mark Maloney is the person that's going to be in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that the idea I heard about producer Empire Bear is not a reality, because that building needs to be maintained in its size. And as a matter of fact, there was once a plan of which I was one of the people. Emily Straker was one, Mark Fingal, Red Plastic Bag, and other people. To refurbish the Empire, and that there where the Deco Motors building was, or still is about to be demolished, to use the equipment over there and come underground to the Empire so that we don't mess up any of the space in there. Acoustically, it's the best place we have ever had for sound where live performances are concerned. And thirdly, in there, we wouldn't have to look for no other theater unless we want to go really massive, like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. That place had the perfect setting, the perfect geographical position, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on and on about that theater. A fire station is a fire station, and it can be relocated any part of Barbados. We have several other places, including, I can't remember the name of that street, but when you leave that Broad Street, you make the turn down by the wharf and you come down, and you're going down that road that will lead you down to the Bridgetown Fish Market. There are a lot of buildings down there that can be renovated and made into a fire station. In fact, I think it would be in a much better position strategically near to the vast majority of stores and so on, if you are inclusive of, say, Swan Street, Milk Market, Tudor Street, Broad Street, et cetera, right? So that argument is really, sounds good, but it is a non-argument, right? Another point is, there is clear vision of Grant Lee Adams statue and the Earl Barr statue, two of our national heroes. There's also a clear vision of Lord Nelson's statue, a statue that had no right being there in the first place, that was erected before the one in London, England. So understand that, and it's never been maintained. It looks green most of the time. If you were to blast that and put that, it has bronze. It's high bronze. It's not just ordinary bronze. It is high bronze. It shines like gold. But we have never seen it like that, right? So I am saying to you that if you can have those statues, two very important that must be seen, why can't you have the Clement Payne one be seen as well, right? We all know of the problems that the building that is going to be demolished had
in terms of the workers not comfortable with breathing and et cetera, et cetera, asbestos and all kind of madness. So I don't know what kind of foolish argument is being being sent to us, I have to say it that manner, by the caller. This argument that he also put up, that is going to be a place for vagrants, I don't buy that. And after all, if we look, are we going to move Nelson's statue then? Because I've seen a lot of vagrants over there, nearly functioning and so on. So what's going to say now that, you know, we don't want to create a second one or something like that? Because for sure, I could see vagrants more wanting to be out by Nelson than over that side, you know? And it opens up the area, and this is a nonsensical argument that some woman yesterday with a Trinidadian accent came on and talked about how the going to be just demolishing for demolishing's sake, and said a nonsensical statement. Again, I don't buy that. I don't think that that's necessary. That area has to be developed. And another caller today talked about all these parks and all these parks. Are you crazy? Parks create good breathing. It creates good atmosphere. It creates good thing for the sight. I mean, when you see it, you feel good.
You feel good.
If you remove Queen's Park from in Bridgetown tomorrow, the Barbadians who don't even go there would miss it immensely because it is a greenery, it's an open space. It's one of the first open spaces in Bridgetown that we had. And if you look a little further down the road and you go down by St. Mary's Church, you remember quite clearly when that was a bus stand and just a bus stand.
Yeah.
Now it's beautiful. We walk down the bottom of Broad Street, it is absolutely beautiful. I see tourists taking pictures there all the time, and Barbadians, because it is beautiful. So what is wrong with beautifying that particular area? You know, so those are the points I want to make. And another point I want to make is on that Accra Beach. The Accra Beach, I don't believe that we should have no restaurant on that beach. The hotel that's going to be built is going to be big enough to put their restaurant inside there. And Marsha is my friend, and I've had meetings with Marsha, and I told her my position because
this is Marsha Cattle, the minister of
minister
of environment.
I do not agree with having the right given those people to put no restaurant on that beach. What needs to be done is to beautify and make that beach of Accra almost like a park or like a park. Improve it, but don't put no restaurant there. And my other point is that Sir Halut have had land over there for the longest time, and he has not been able to get permission to develop it in terms of putting a chevet kiosk. So how come these people get permission to do what they're going to do? That is a madman thing. The other point is we have to watch out for the environment. When Sylvester Hall was the Minister of Tourism, I told him, Sylvester Hall is my dear, dear friend. I told him, I said, at the time, I could call him that, at the time, I said, Leslie, you can't allow these hotels to keep building on the coast all the time. And he said to me, Garrett, you know, tourism is a necessary evil, man. I said, I know that you would put it in that manner because it's your job to create jobs. I have no problem with that. But let them build on the other side. And a former U.S. ambassador told me that he had made a proposal to the then government that they knocked down everything from the Bay Street Esplanade right down past Miss Ram Place, right down by Manning, and leave it as a window to the sea. He said, you have no idea how much Barbados would gain in tourism just having that. And, of course, it was turned down. And now we're seeing a Hyatt. Now we're going to see other places develop. We might well, see, I don't know, Brandon Beach, are you hearing a rumor now they might put something down there too? And they don't understand. The wind and the sea are brother and sister. So they communicate every single day. If you put buildings that are too high and block that wind from communicating with that sea, what happens is that the sea goes out to try to communicate with the wind. So what happens then is that you get more beach and everybody's smiling. So I remember in Bronx, this was a little monkey beach. And look, boy, we got a big, big beach now because some people put those groins out. Every time they build a hotel on the South Coast or even on the West Coast, they put these groins. So these groins create more sand and more beach, so everybody happy. But what they don't understand is when water goes out, it also likes to come back to visit where it was before, but only at a much higher height. So if you look at the sand, if you look at beaches, any part of the world, and you see those beaches, you will find that if you build buildings that block the wind from communicating with the sea, what happens is that, like I said before, the water goes out. You create a big, beautiful beach, but then when it revisits with vengeance. And that's how tsunamis and really high tides are created. Because when God created the thing, he didn't make no mistakes. So if you keep on doing that, you will create the great big beach, but you will also create a potential tsunami. And the other important thing is that the sewage, those new hotels need to build their own sewage plants. Everybody might say, well, okay, man, look, ours is not at the capacity it can hold it, but it should be able to hold for generations to come. Not wondering if it's going to hold when the thing is over, when the hotel is finished and all of that. No, no, no. We have to think of generations to come so that our great, great, great grandchildren can enjoy the place the way we have. And pollution is another important aspect of it. If you looked at where we used to call the hot pot, then you pass Brandon, mm-hmm. the area there, going into Brighton. Mm-hmm. The coral in that area turned white, totally white and dead because of pollution. Is that what we want? The fishermen who used to throw their nets into that water can no longer do so. In fact, they can do so but at the leisure of catching some sea moss or something, but even if that's still there, because they certainly ain't going to catch no fish. Because the coral died, the reefs died, and we are talking about development. Development has to be inclusive of saving that coastline so that we can enjoy the beaches, but at the same time, we know we are not bathing in polluted water. And a lot of hotels in this country are guilty of pumping raw sewage into that sea. And sometimes chemicals from washing and things like that. So that a lot of the fish, a lot of species of fish, not just the fish, certain species that I knew as a boy, I don't see them no more. Mm-hmm. Right? And all those are things that we have to be cognizant of. We have to make sure that we don't just be developing for development's sake, but for saving our country for generations to come. And that's what I have to say for the day. Thank you for listening to me.
Before you go off, Sir Gabby, I wanted to join the moderator in extending my congratulations to you. I saw you briefly standing outside of Lanterns. I think it was yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I thank you for the little impromptu case you gave me at the start.
My friend, it's something that Gabby have to tell you. Yesterday, I was having a ball standing outside there by Lantern Mall. If I knew you was in the area, I would come and shout you, my brother. But all I have to say right away, Dennis, my dear, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Gabby. You get back at me. I can't say anything else to that, but thanks. Listen,
thank you, brother.
I wanted to just throw this in as I was listening to you and Sanka in conversation about the park and the right excellent Clement Payne. Mm-hmm. You should write, right? You're still writing. I know you do this, but just
I
think
have
about this. Just
700 points in the last 2 years.
I am not surprised.
Not seven, slightly over seven. So,
let me just say this. And think about this for a minute. You have the right excellent Earl Walton Barrow with Independence Square, his park. You mm-hmm. got the right excellent Clement Payne with his park. Mm-hmm. Now, if government headquarters, and I can be real controversial here, is turned into a hotel, we could then put the right excellent gentleman who stands there over where the unright and unexcellent Nelson now stands. So he will have Hero Square in front of him.
That.
So you'll have Sir Grantley looking down on Parliament Square. You'll yeah. have the right excellent Earl Barrow looking down on Independence Square and Clement Payne looking down on his thing. And then we could put, you know, we could put the unright and unexcellent Nelson somewhere down by the shallow draft. They go yeah, you know, round the boat down there know, with the space room.
I am so much in agreement with what you have said. Listen, a lot of Barbadians know and some don't know. For those who don't know, the reason why I wrote songs like Take Down Nelson mm-hmm. and the other Nelson song mm-hmm. is simple. Lord Nelson was a racist. Secondly, he said that Barbados was the worst place he had ever visited in his life, and that the sun will never set on the British Empire. So he was talking about maintaining colonialism, maintaining slavery, etc., etc. How can we be so naive as to still have a statue of that man blocking the traffic from passing in Broad Street? I mean, that's so nonsensical. The other important part is next door to him. There is a bay that we call Carlisle Bay. Mm-hmm. And very few Barbadians know that Carlisle was a thief, that Carlisle was disgraceful, that Carlisle was in charge of lands in Barbados, and he would sell Dennis Johnson the land, and then sell Sanker Price the land, and then sell Gabby the land. So Sanker Price and Dennis goes to him and say, but Carlisle, how you could sell Gabby the same land you sold it to us? And Carlisle said, but you come here in Barbados, you ain't even born here, and give him trouble, or you wait. And in less than 3 weeks' time, Dennis Johnson and my other friend Sanker Price is off on a boat to England, never to see Barbados again. How can we have a bay name after a man like that? That bay needs renaming George Ferguson Bay mm-hmm. for many, many reasons.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gabby. Thank you very much. That's the most excellent Anthony Gabby Carter. We take a commercial break and we'll be right back. You're on the air? Good morning.
Good Hello?
Morning. Yes, good morning. How are you?
Thanker?
Yes.
Yes. Finally. Oh,
you're on the air, okay?
Yes. Okay. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
First time calling into the program. Uh-huh. I have a major challenge, and I am trying to reach my MP for the longest while. Miss Cynthia Ford cannot find her, not even at the number 231-9617 that I always used to call before. Anyways, it has to do with the bus transportation. My son goes to Lodge, and school started today, and last year it ended with him getting to school late every day. Today, that's how it began. So every day at 6:30, he walks from King Garden, close to Dennis Johnson, to Huddersfield Turning by Kelsey Supermarket to wait for the 7 o'clock, 5 and 6. Now, there's only one bus that travels that route that goes to Lodge School. And every day, that bus is late. This morning, it came 8:45. He has to get to school for 8:15.
Oh,
like I said, I'm unable to reach my MP, and I know that she likes to listen to the calling program. So I said, let me call here to see if I can reach her. And hopefully, you will help me to be successful.
So you mean he gets there for 7 o'clock by Kelsey's?
Yes. Every morning, 6:30, he leaves home.
And still... And there's only one bus and still gets
one,
there. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know the transportation problems at Lodge because my daughter went to school at Lodge. Into sixth form. She went there in sixth
right,
form.
Right, in sixth form.
And I know how difficult it is to get there. But, that is really ridiculous. Not from 7 o'clock because, I used to drop her in the terminal for, when I took her to the terminal, for at least 7:30. to take the bus there. And she always used to complain about that as well. So I had to end up driving up to St. John on mornings. It's unbelievable what is happening, because it impacts how these children learn.
Because by the time he reaches the school, he already misses a period.
Yeah.
Now, I know that Miss Ford is an advocate for bus transportation in Sturgis and Prout. So I'm hoping that she can be an equal advocate for transportation out here.
Mm.
So I don't know if you have a direct line of contact to her, Sanka.
No, I
don't.
But
I really need help.
Mm. All right, well, it's been aired. Thank you very much for holding, because I know you've been holding for just over an hour. And yes, it was long. And I thank you for holding, because this is important. The education of our children is very important. And I know that for large school, it's a particularly a troublesome situation. It really, really is. And the Transport Board, I don't know what you can do to help with situations like these, but certainly we really got to improve the bus transportation for St. John in particular, and for the children going to school at large. It really needs to be done. It really
and,
does.
And he's a male, so he's already disadvantaged. you laughing, but
I understand what you mean. Unfortunately, I have to agree with you, but I understand totally what you mean. Totally. And that's a program in itself.
Exactly.
That's a program.
So, Ms. Ford, if you're listening, Auntie Cindy, I really need your help.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to raise with us?
No, that's the only issue.
All right. Thank you very much for holding, and thank you for calling.